Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. My lifetime has seen the United States burst forward as a national economy and political leader, beginning after the Second World War as a function of cheap energy generated by the burning of coal, then oil, then gas, a paradigm that fueled consumption and so-called progress worldwide. It is true that almost everyone on Earth benefited from this phenomenon, the making and distribution of goods and services that grew national productivity and employment. But that benefit clearly reached its limit when the consequences of that enterprise, evinced by CO2 emissions, acidification of land and sea, and the distribution of associated byproducts as poisons and persistent pollutants, temperature rise, extreme weather, and all the other destructive phenomena we now attribute to changing climate and the deterioration of public health and security. Technology responded with the invention of alternative ideas for new, less destructive energy production, and the market also responded as investors and some corporations and some national governments assumed the responsibility for implementation through subsidy and direct action. It is not new news to understand this change, to see its advantage, and shift policy and finance in that direction. Solar energy generation has emerged as seriously viable and advantageous alternative, and its implementation may be found in many places around the world. China has become a major true believer and has caused the construction of solar, along with wind and hydro generation, as alternatives to its past dependence on coal and as driver to its rising standard of living and of its burgeoning population. The scale is enormous. According to Bloomberg News, the Chinese government will have purportedly invested more than $361 billion in this strategy and will have boosted its alternative capacity to over 20% by 2020. A Chinese private investment group is building what is purported to be the largest solar farm in the world. Located in Ningxia Province, its 4 million panels covering over 4,600 hectares, roughly equivalent to 7,000 U.S. East Coast city blocks, that will cost some $2 billion and become the largest single production site in the world. In Anhui Province, the Chinese took another significant step with the construction by Xinyi Solar of a floating solar farm on a lake, ironically, over a collapsed coal mine that can produce 40 megawatts of power, able to provide electricity to 15,000 homes. There are certain advantages in building over man-made lakes and reservoirs that are not ecologically sensitive, retain their reservoir capacity, providing cooling advantage for the solar electronics, and protect adjacent land for agriculture or other terrestrial use. For similar reasons, a floating plant was built in 2016 on Queen Elizabeth Reservoir near Heathrow Airport outside London to power the Thames Water Treatment Plant. We think mostly of water and the ocean as a dynamic system of biodiversity, and that is its largest intrinsic value. But it is also a surface, in these applications exemplified as a place which can support another unexpected human need. It also is a reservoir of heat, again a function of solar collection and storage that can be transformed into an alternative energy system that does not pollute or poison, and transform technologically into a desalination system that provides fresh water back into a supply that has been otherwise corrupted by the old paradigm on land. There is here a circular system of energy exchange, an all-natural cycle powered by the sun that must be welcomed, not denied by short-term indifference, that must be realized as sunburst, the most powerful opportunity available to us since the discovery of fire. These words, as they are written and broadcast, are the result of such a process. The 24 solar panels on my roof that power the means by which these thoughts are recorded and shared, and by the sun itself that illuminates where I and all the rest of us live and love, work and grow. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is distributed by the Public Radio Exchange and the Pacifica Network for use by college and community radio stations worldwide. Find us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.